Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. The path of faith, the path of faith.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series The Path of Faith in the Beautiful Month of Ramadan. As inshallah Azza wa Jal enlighten our hearts and mind by the recitation of Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the beautiful hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi. وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَسَلَّمِ Brothers, inshallah, today we are going to talk about a very key aspect of our beautiful deen of Islam, and that is acquiring and obtaining the knowledge of Islam, knowledge of deen. And hence, today's topic is knowledge is light. SubhanAllah. Indeed, knowledge is light and it enlightens the hearts and mind and clears the path for us to follow the deen, SubhanAllah. Knowledge is the legacy of the blessed Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The scholars, they are the heirs of the prophets alayhi salam. Why? Because they don't inherit dirham or dinar, money or property from the prophets, but they take the wealth of knowledge from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Hence, they are the inheritors and the heirs of the prophets alayhi salam. Look at the knowledge of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, for example. How vast was his knowledge? And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the names of everything. And subhanallah, he knew so many languages. And subhanallah, every other prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them immense knowledge. The knowledge of any prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 10 times more than the knowledge of the entire creation put together. And subhanallah, and the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in contrast to the knowledge of all the prophets, it is even beyond that. Allahu Akbar. And this knowledge that we're speaking of, it is the legacy of the blessed Anbiya, Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam. And he was given the title of Idris. Idris comes from the word Dars. I mean, he was a teacher, subhanAllah. He's the first one to write with pen. And mashallah, he was given such immense knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of Musa alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar. He had such immense knowledge of so many things. The knowledge of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The knowledge of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. The first person to have created a ship, and that knowledge was bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of carpentry. And Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was given knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to that knowledge, and blessed with that knowledge, he ruled over the entire world. So yes, knowledge is the legacy of blessed Anbiya. And what about the knowledge of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most knowledgeable being in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is our beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, about his knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised and has mentioned how much knowledge of the unseen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one gathering, he was telling the Sahaba, it is mentioned in the hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the knowledge of everything that happened and everything that will happen. Subhanallah. And all is in the knowledge of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidi Al-Hazrat says, Aur koi ghaib kya, tum se niha ho bhala, jab na khuda hi chupa, tum pe karodo durood. Yes. And subhanallah, this knowledge that we speaking of, the knowledge of deen, it is the legacy of the blessed Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Knowledge is in the way of gaining closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the more a person is knowledgeable, the more he knows about the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more he has the irfan about the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he has the knowledge of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the knowledge of the Holy Quran, the more he has the knowledge of the ahadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the more a person gains closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, look at so many sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They gain the proximity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Arif Billah. So many Arif Billahs have been throughout the history of Islam, subhanallah. And they all were known for their recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah ta'ala, and many other Arifin who had gained immense knowledge, and through that knowledge they gained proximity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ghawsipak rahmatullahi ta'ala goes on to say that darastul ilma hatta sirtu qutuban, that I continued to attain knowledge until I became a qutub, a very high ranking wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge is the way of gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowledge is the source of guidance. Yes, the more a person is enlightened, the more he has the knowledge of Quran, knowledge of ahadith, knowledge of aqaid of Islam, knowledge of the sharia and the fiqh, subhanallah, the more he is aware of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of this comes together to guide a person on the right path, on the correct path, on the straight path, and this knowledge becomes a source of guidance, subhanallah. Knowledge is the source of protection from sins, and this is a way, the recognition of the pitfalls. Like, for example, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has dedicated 1/4 of his Ihya Ulumuddin, 10 chapters, about those things that we must abstain from, and those spiritual diseases, those things that are haram, those things that Islam discourages from, to have the knowledge of those things. Why? Because if we don't have the knowledge of, let's say, what to eat and what not to eat, for example, then a person may end up even eating poison and killing himself in return. Would we want that? We wouldn't want that. So, in terms of our actions, we need to know what actions are halal, what actions are haram. And even the innermost feelings of our own personality, even about them, we need to gain recognition. The batini amraz, the hidden sins, the internal aspects of our emotions and feelings and thinking. Islam governs, subhanallah, every aspect of our life. And it has guidance for every aspect of our life, from birth till death and beyond, subhanallah. So Islam encourages us to attain the knowledge of those things that will protect us from sins. For example, learning about certain things, the certain foods that are haram, certain things that are haram to do, certain things that we shouldn't bring into our houses. A lot of aspects that are connected to knowing the halal and haram, and to at the same time abstain ourselves from doubtful things. So then knowledge becomes a source of protection from sins, from doubtful matters. Knowledge is a great method of developing Allah's fear. So let's say, for example, we have just mentioned that knowledge, it protects us from sins. It even protects us from the waswasas of shaitan. Yes. Once a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was on a journey with his servant. And the servant, he was trying to find out what is the difference between waswasa, the evil whisper, and between ilham. Ilham is a person gets inspiration, a divine inspiration. And he wanted to know what's the difference between the two. So they were traveling. This wali of Allah, he was traveling, and the servant was accompanying him. So his Piro Murshid, his guide, he got hurt and he wanted something to wipe his feet with. So he asked his servant, is there anything? So the servant had a very expensive handkerchief with him. And the servant was reluctant to give it to him. First he thought, never mind if it's expensive, let me help my guide and try to alleviate this difficulty, this hardship from him. And then he thought to himself, no, it is so expensive, it will get dirty. And later on, when the disciple asked the sheikh, that what is the difference between ilham and waswasa? So the Piro Murshid, the sheikh, the mentor, the guide, he told him that before you gave me the handkerchief to remove the difficulty from me, the first thought that came to your mind, the first thought that entered your mind, that was ilham. And the second thought that entered your mind, that was waswasa. Subhanallah. And these awliya Allah, how do they know? They gain the knowledge and recognition of all of this when they are treading this path of attaining the knowledge of deen. Knowledge is a great method of developing Allah's fear. And one key proof of it is from the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and teaches us in the glorious Quran, those who truly fear Allah azza wa jal are the scholars, are the ulama. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Knowledge is the source of attaining respect in this world and the hereafter. Subhanallah, we can see in our day-to-day life, a person who is ignorant, he doesn't get any respect from anyone. But somebody who is knowledgeable, though he may not have money, he still gets people's respect. And his status is elevated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he acts upon his knowledge. Knowledge brings dead hearts to life. It brings dead hearts to life. The spiritual knowledge, the knowledge of deen, it brings the dead hearts to life. For example, the knowledge that is propagated by the pious predecessors. Let's say, for example, the knowledge that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala ali has put in and he has compiled within his masterpiece, Ihya Ulumuddin, subhanallah. And he has named it Revival of Religious Sciences. So yes, it does revive you. And the dead hearts, the hearts that are spiritually dead, it brings about that spark of life to the dead hearts. Knowledge protects Iman, yes. There is an incident where Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi mentions that Shaitan, he puts his throne on water every day. And one day, Shaitan put his throne on water and he was taking accountability from all of his minions and he was asking them what they got up to. So they were all presenting their reports. Someone said, okay, I caused fight between husband and wife. I caused them to give divorce. And then somebody else said something else. Some other Satans that were there, they said that, okay, they provoked somebody to steal and so on and so forth. Now, he is listening to all of the reports. Okay, okay. And then there comes a Satan who says that I prevented a child from going to madrasa. Shaitan becomes overjoyed and he applauds the Satan who prevented the child from going to madrasa. Other Satans, they became jealous. Said, how come we did so many things and you never really gave us any applauds? And here this guy, he stops a child from going to madrasa and you get overjoyed over such a little thing. We did big things. So Satan says, all right, come with me and I'll show you. And the Satan takes them near a masjid. It was almost the time of Fajr. And they waited there. And everybody now started to fill the masjid before Fajr Salah. So there was a person who was a habitual worshipper. He was habitual of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was actually steadfast in worshipping Allah azza wa jal. He was an abid. Abid is a person who engrosses himself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an abid, he was going towards the masjid. Shaitan stopped him. He said, before you go, I just have a small question. could you please answer my question? He said, okay, make it fast because I'm running late for my jama'ah, for my salah. He said, okay, I won't take long. He took out a bottle, and it was a small bottle, and he shows it to him and he asks him, is it possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accumulate the entire world into this little bottle? Now, the abid, it got him thinking, and he had a doubt about it. He said, no, how can that be possible? And then the shaitan said, all right, I got my answer, you can go. Now, the Satan turns to his minions who were watching. He said, did you see? I have thrown cold water and I've nullified all of his years of worship just because of this one statement that he made due to his ignorance about the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the divine qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a doubt in it. So all, whatever he did for his entire life, it rendered null and void now. And then he says, wait. Then there was an alim who was going to the same masjid. So his shaitan stopped him. He said, I just got a question before you go. He said, right, ask me fast. So he takes up the same bottle and asks him, that is Allah capable of entering and accumulating the entire world into this bottle? And he says to him, you appear to be shaitan. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi. Not only this bottle and not only this world, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, if he wills, he can even fit all the worlds, not only this world, the entire universe, through the eye of a needle. Then that person went to the masjid, the alimidin. Shaitan turns to his minions and said to them, did you see the effect of knowledge? How I failed to convince him, and how he saved his iman because he had gained the knowledge of the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhat and the sifat of Allah azza wa jal, subhanallah. Likewise, we need to adorn ourselves with the obligatory knowledge of our beautiful deen of Islam, the physical and the spiritual aspects of it. Sayyidina Abdul Wahhab bin Atta Khaffaf rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that during Umayyad Caliphate, Sayyidina Abu Abdirrahman Farrukh rahimahullah went to Khurasan to guard the borders while his wife was expecting. He left 30,000 dinars with his wife. When he returned to Madinah Munawwara after 27 years, he reached his home and pushed the door with a spear. Sayyidina Rabi'ah rahimahullah came out. As he saw an armed man, he furiously said, O servant of Allah, do you want to attack my home? Sayyidina Farrukh rahimahullah replied, no, I don't want to attack. You tell me, how dare you enter my house? Then they both started to have an argument. The neighbors intervened and they stopped fighting. When Sayyidina Malik bin Anas rahimahullah and other people knew about it, they immediately, they came there, they gathered there upon the interruption of Sayyidina Malik rahimahullah. Abu Abdirrahman Farrukh rahimahullah said to him that my name is Farrukh and this is my home. His wife, who was listening to this entire conversation behind the door, recognized him and he said, he is my husband. And Rabia is his son. Rabia was in my womb when he left home in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Having heard this, both father and son embraced each other. After having a meal and taking rest, Sayyidina Abu Abdirrahman asked his wife, where are the 30,000 dinars which I had left? She replied that I have buried it somewhere and I will take it out after some days. In the meantime, Sayyidina Rabi'ah rahimahullah, he went to conduct an Islamic class in the masjid and he started giving the dars of hadith, teaching hadith. When Sayyidina Farrukh rahimahullah went to the masjid to offer salah, he saw a group of students were gaining Islamic knowledge with great respect and attention, and a handsome young man was teaching him. Which was this handsome young man who was teaching there? It was his son, Sayyidina Rabi'ah. Right? He asked people, who is he imparting knowledge? People said, he is Rabi'ah, son of Abu Abdirrahman. Having heard this, he became overjoyed and said, what a great status Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed my son with. He was really proud of his son. He then went back to his home and he said to his wife, today I have seen your son's great status. He is the ocean of Islamic knowledge. His wife said, "Do you still want your 30,000 dinars or this greatness and loftiness of your son?" He replied, "I swear to Allah, I do not want anything in return for this great blessing." His wife said, "Then listen to me. I have spent all the dinars on your son to provide him with Islamic knowledge." Having heard this, he, rahimahullah, said, "By Allah, you did not waste my money, but rather spent it for a worthy cause." Allahu Akbar. From this parable, dear viewers, it's been understood that Islamic knowledge is a great blessing, and surely it is a great privilege to spend money for gaining it. It used to be the thought of the pious predecessors that's why the mother of Sayyidina Rabi'a, rahimahullah ta'ala, spent a large amount of money on his education and upbringing. When the father of Sayyidina Rabi'a, rahimahullah, knew about it, that his son attained a great status after gaining Islamic knowledge by spending his money, so he became happy and he told his wife, "You did not really waste my money, but rather spent it on a very good cause." Therefore, we should not only gain Islamic knowledge ourselves, but also should provide for our children with Islamic knowledge. And looking at this beautiful parable of Sayyidina Farooq rahimahullah ta'ala, and how he was eager after knowing, subhanallah, what a great cause that his money was spent for, to educate his child, and his son became such a great scholar of Islam. He was overjoyed. Similarly, the Imam of Islam, the reviver of Sunnah in his time, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was a great scholar of Islam, one of the greatest scholars of Islam. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, how did he attain knowledge? He had a brother as well. And their father, Imam Ghazali's father, he used to be in the company of the ulama and always wished, though he himself wasn't a scholar of Islam, but whenever he would be in the company of fuqaha, the Islamic jurists, and he would see them immersed in the Islamic studies, and he would see them giving verdicts, he would wish in his heart that, "I want my children to become fuqaha like this, Islamic scholars." And then when he would see the orators giving bayan and lectures on Islamic matters, he would have this wish in his heart that one day his children, they must become orators and scholars just like this. Subhanallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled all his wishes and even more. Subhanallah. He used to save his money, the money that he would make from his business, from his wages, he would save that money. And he had saved enough for the education of his two children. And he passed away before they could become ulama. But he had entrusted that money with his friend, whom he had left instructions that, you know, "After I pass away, use this money to educate my children and make them ulama." So his friend, he spent his money on Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala and his brother, and they both became great ulama of their time, subhanallah. Look at how the pious predecessors, they would make arrangements for their children to be blessed with Islamic knowledge. And we should have the same mindset, that not only teach ourselves the Islamic knowledge, but also provide for our children, for our offspring, to gain the ilm of deen. Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in Surah Ali Imran that Allah Azza wa Jal has testified that there is none worthy of worship but Him, and so did the angels and those of knowledge while maintaining justice. The father of Allah, Hazrat Allama Naqi Ali Khan rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that three virtues of knowledge are proven by the blessed verse. Number one, Allah has made the mention of Islamic scholars with Himself and angels. Secondly, He Azza wa Jal has also made Islamic scholars the witness of His oneness like angels, and declared the testimony to be the evidence of Him being the one who is worthy to be worshipped. And thirdly, the testimony of them, meaning the testimony of the Islamic scholars, has also been considered to be authentic, like the testimony of the angels. Similarly, at another place in the Holy Quran, the glory and the greatness of ulama have been mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in Surah Al-Mujadala that Allah will raise the excellent believers amongst you and those who are given knowledge to high ranks. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has stated that the status of Islamic scholars will be elevated 700 times more than the status of ordinary believers. And there is a distance of 500 years between each two levels. Imagine if an ordinary Muslim is blessed with paradise, although it will be sufficient for him. But they will feel envious at the fortune of an Islamic scholar who will not only be blessed with paradise, but his status will also be elevated 700 times more than the status of ordinary believers in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the passion and the enthusiasm to learn Islamic sciences and the ilm of deen. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. In the next episode, we are going to discuss the beauty of Madina Munawwara. Stay tuned for that as well. And watch other beautiful silsilas that are being aired on Madani channel, especially Madani Muzakara. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. The path of faith, the path of faith.